Now, Buddhism, we may say, broadly speaking, is concerned exclusively with the higher evolution of man. The higher evolution of man. And this comes out very clearly in the Buddha's reply to a question put to him by his aunt and foster mother, Mahaprajapati Gautami. Apparently she'd been very confused by the conflicting versions of his teaching given already in his own lifetime by his own disciples. So she came straight to the Buddha himself and she said, well, what do you really teach? How can I know what you really teach? Here are these disciples of yours going around the whole of India practically. One says you teach this, another says you teach that. How am I to know? What is the criterion? What is the principle for finding out? So the Buddha said to her in reply, Gautami, he said, those teachings concerning which you can assure yourself that they lead to cessation of cravings, to development of the higher consciousness, to peace of mind, to liberation, of those teachings which have this sort of tendency, this sort of forward, progressive, upward tendency, of these teachings you can assure yourself that they constitute my dharma. So this is the criterion that the Buddha gives. This is the principle that he lays down. And it isn't always appreciated. Sometimes Buddhists think of the spiritual life in a rather one-sided, rather exclusively negative manner, as the abolition of the whole of the lower evolution, and then they leave it at that. You just root out everything that is lower in yourself, and they leave it at that. But if we look carefully at the scriptures, as for instance Mrs. Rhys-Davids has done in many of her books, we see that the Buddha spoke of the spiritual life in terms of positive growth and of man himself as involved in a process of becoming more, not less, of journeying by conscious effort towards what Mrs. Rhys-Davids usually very picturesquely calls with a capital M, the most. Now, of course, in the total spiritual life, both negative and positive aspects are present, but perhaps the positive emphasis is more helpful than the negative one. If we look at the four Brahma Viharas, for instance, we find that they express the will towards the higher evolution. The first Brahma Vihara is love towards all living beings. It's a desire for the growth, the evolution of others. Then there's Karuna, or compassion. This is the feeling which we have towards people who are not growing, whose growth is stunted, who can't evolve. And thirdly, there's mudita, sympathetic joy. This is joy to see others growing. Just like when you go out into the garden and you're happy to see the flowers growing and blooming and blossoming, everything springing up, especially in the springtime and the early summer. It makes you happy to see this process. So in the same way, when you see other people, other human beings evolving and growing, you feel happy on that account. And then the fourth Brahma Vihara, upeksha, or equanimity. And when the process of growth has been accomplished, you feel very happy and very satisfied with that. You, as it were, take your rest. Not resting on your oars, but just balanced in this higher state of spiritual equilibrium. But perhaps we can say that the will to the higher evolution is embodied most clearly and most beautifully in the figure of the Bodhisattva, the one who dedicates himself to the cause of universal enlightenment, of cosmic emancipation. We may say that the will to enlightenment, the arising of which makes the Bodhisattva a Bodhisattva, represents the whole principle of higher evolution become, as it were, fully self-conscious. We've no time to pursue this in detail. We've done it in a way recently in the course of the lectures given at Centre House on aspects of the Bodhisattva ideal. There we saw that the bodhicitta, the will to enlightenment, was the dominant factor, not only of the Bodhisattva ideal itself, but perhaps of the whole of the Mahayana, even the whole of Buddhism. And within this present context, we can see, we can understand why that should be so. So it isn't necessary, perhaps now, to go into details. Confucius, you remember, said on one occasion, if I give you one corner of the subject, I expect you to be able to grasp the other three for yourself.